From your fryer to the table, it's a quick trip for crispy fries. But how about a crosstown delivery? McCain SureCrisp fries are designed to go from fryer to container to carrier to passenger seat across town during rush hour down a shortcut that wasn't all that short to a doorstep before they hit the table. And that first bite, the crispiness speaks for itself.
Mmm.
To the last bite, McCain SureCrisp fries go the distance. See how far our fries can take your business at surecrisp.com/delivery.
Welcome to Menu Talk. I'm Pat Kobe. I'm the senior menu editor at Restaurant Business, and I'm here with Brett Thorne, who I'll let introduce himself.
Thanks, Pat. I'm Brett Thorne, senior food and beverage editor of Nation's Restaurant News and Restaurant Hospitality. How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing well. I wanted to talk a little bit about the podcast I did this week, but before we get to that, I really wanted to talk about this amazing meal I had for my birthday at Kokkadok. Have you been there yet? It's a Korean fried chicken restaurant.
Kokkadok. No, I have not been yet.
So, you know, the people who own Coat Steakhouse, this is their like slightly, you know, more fun, lower end fried chicken place. But it's kind of based on the same, you know, concept where you share a lot and you sit at tables. And I think it's just like a very smart concept because for $38 per person, you get a ton of food, and they recommend that you buy a bottle of champagne or two to have with the fried chicken because that's a really good pairing, which it was. So you start off with like a little cup of broth, and then they bring you a salad, and then they bring two buckets of fried chicken, not at the same time. The first one is just unadorned, but they have four different sauces that you can play around with. They come in little squeeze bottles. And then the second one comes with two different glazes on it. One was kind of spicy and hot, and one was more hard to explain, but it was sort of like a Szechuan peppercorn type, you know, where it sort of popped in your mouth.
Oh, that's fun. Yeah, I really love Szechuan peppercorn.
Yeah, both of them were just so delicious, and everybody gets really messy eating with their hands and drinking champagne. And I thought $38 was a really good price for this, but I'm not. They also have like little bowls of noodles that they give you after the fried chicken. And then for dessert, they give you like a little cup of frozen yogurt with some toppings. So it was a really good deal. And
fun do they sell the champagne or can you bring your own?
No, you have to order it off their list. But the list is very wide ranging in price. I mean, you can get something for a few hundred dollars if you want, but you could also get something for $60. Or $50. And with four or five people, that's really not a lot.
And at $38 a person, that's quite a deal.
Yeah. So it was a lot of fun.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned Coat because last night you and I went to the launch of Rocco Despirito's new book, the name of which I have forgotten. Simply Delicious, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And the last time I saw Rocco was last year or the year before at Coat of all places.
Really?
Met him and some other people there for drinks, and we ended up doing a podcast, and it was good to see him again. That was quite an event, and I was talking to the publicist afterwards. This was in Macy's, and it was a paid event if you weren't media. Do you know how much people paid to stand in line? And there was a line the whole night to get
the cookbook signed.
Yeah. You know how much it cost?
I think it was like $85.
Correct. Yes. $85, which, my goodness, that seems like a lot. But I guess you get a book. It was an open bar. So
you get a couple of drinks. But one of the people that she was like an Instagram influencer, and she's on this barbecue show on Netflix. And she was talking to me about it. And she said she came in from Long Island just to see Rocco, but she would have to go out to dinner afterwards because there wasn't enough food there for her $85.
There was not a lot of food. It was hard to find. Yeah, I went home, and now I don't remember what I had for dinner last night. Guess it wasn't that memorable, but
I think I went home and had a dish of ice cream. That was my dinner. But I think it's really interesting that he has all these fangirls. I mean, it was mostly women who were there, and they weren't all young women. Some of them were much older. And I guess he's been cooking for a while, for over 20 years. So
yes.
Some of them would be you know, following him from when he just started out. But it was just really interesting to see how many women were there and how excited they were to be posing with Rocco. So I guess he's kind of like a rock star.
Yeah, well, if I remember correctly, he was the first chef ever to be on the cover of Gourmet magazine years ago. Like, I don't know. I mean, Gourmet magazine's been closed for quite a long time. And this is back when Ruth Reichel was the editor in chief. And it's quite a hot picture of him in a short sleeve shirt, his muscles bulging a little bit, holding some kind of big fish. And that was around the same time that People magazine named him the sexiest chef alive. And he has quite a nice picture in that old People magazine.
Well, I guess, yeah, that's where he earned his reputation. And he is still kind of hot. He hasn't really lost it.
True. And he's not young. He's a year older than I am.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that he, you know, even though he's not a restaurant chef anymore, and he was a really great one when he was the chef of Union Pacific, the fact that he decided to go more the healthy celebrity route is an understandable choice. Cooking in restaurants,
right?
Is fine.
Well, it's interesting that he's, you know, he's really still so popular and obviously making money without a restaurant. So it seems like, you know, we talked about that a little bit last week about Resident and how chefs are going in different directions now with their careers and still making a salary, but in a different way.
Well, and it's so hard to run an independent restaurant. We talked about this last week too, the trend of having more restaurants in hotels and other places where there's, you know, more financial backing. And it makes sense.
Yeah, it's probably harder now than when Rocco started out, because that was the flush times.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I also spoke this week with Doug Wilmarth, who's the president of Muyu Burgers, Fries, and Shakes, which is quite a different kind of concept than Union Pacific, or Coconut, for that matter. But it's one of the better burger chains. There are now about 72 locations around the country, mostly in Texas, but, you know, in the Southwest, but they are expanding. And one of the interesting things he said before we get to the menu is that demand is like more stable throughout the day. People aren't coming in just for lunch or dinner. They're coming in all the time. So they're opening places with fewer seats because they don't get that lunch rush and they don't get the dinner rush. So they don't need as many seats. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
So that's great from an economic perspective. It can be a smaller footprint, which is awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
And probably allows them to manage staff better. You know, you don't need to have people clock in and clock out. They could work all day long, which I guess may or may not be a good thing, depending on economics and how it all works.
Well, there are also, you know, there are so many better burger concepts now, and they all kind of do burgers, fries, and shakes. So one of the, you know, burning questions I had for Doug was, how does he stay competitive in this crowded segment? Because there are quite a lot, as we all know, and more coming all the time. And even non-burger concepts are putting more burgers on the menu. So I just wanted to play this clip in which he talks about, you know, how they stay competitive.
Great.
Yeah, I think what we believe sets us apart is that our burgers just taste better. And one of the reasons we think they taste better, actually, I think there's three reasons. First is we start with the very highest quality ingredients, and that includes things like certified Angus beef, where our beef is really better quality than most steakhouses serve. And we have, you know, fresh avocados, house-made sides, et cetera. So our ingredients are really the best that we can find. The second thing is that we handcraft processes. So we smash our burgers fresh from pucks. We, you know, punch our own fries. We hand mix every shake to order. So by doing things the hard way, we think that just makes them a little better. But the real secret is the customization. So we have a couple different types of protein, whether it's a certified Angus beef or a Dr. Kroger's vegan burger. We even have a turkey burger. And you can pair that with a bun that we bake fresh in-house every day, or a gluten-free bun, or an ice burger. We got five different kinds of cheeses. We got six different sauces. We've got a bunch of house-made toppings. And so you can create that any way you want. And that flexibility of, you know, best quality ingredients, handcrafted, made just the way you want it, that's what we think results in the best tasting cheeseburger around.
When baking your own buns isn't nothing either. I mean, the fact that they do that is pretty cool. I also, if I remember correctly, they got rid of their chicken sandwich, which was right. kind of a bold move at the time. And like franchisees were pissed, like because they figured it was an important part of their branding. But what the Muya people discovered, this was a few years ago when I spoke to them about it, was that their chicken sandwiches were fine. But that if people came in and ordered the chicken sandwich, they really weren't getting a proper Muya experience. And when they phased out the chicken sandwich, obviously it was easier operationally, but also they got more repeat customers because they came in and got what Muya does best.
Yeah. Well, you know, he mentions later that they really wanted to keep focused on having burgers, fries, and shakes, since that's in their name anyway. Right. So they got rid of the chicken sandwich. They also got rid of salads. So really all they have are burgers, fries, and shakes. And that allows them to keep prices kind of down too, even though they're using, you know, these better ingredients. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Absolutely. But,
and, you know, he did talk a lot about customization. And in a fast casual, that's kind of difficult, you know, to keep the line moving when everybody's asking for a different kind of cheese or a different bun or, you know, people also have decision paralysis. They can't decide what they want when they're on the line. So I asked him if they were doing any like curated items. And he talked about their favorites menu. So I wanted to play that clip.
We have a favorites menu, and the favorites menu is really, you know, just what it sounds. It's the things that people order the most. And so even on the favorites menu, we have things like the best case scenario, which is a burger that has, you know, hand-done fried onion strings and a queso blanco with green chilies, right? It's absolutely delicious. And we sell a double Diablo, which is a, you know, kind of a hot concept burger with jalapenos and pepper jack, et cetera. But we also have an entire menu of what we call the Hall of Dang, which is chef-curated ideas. We have a hamburger dog. We've got classic burgers like the A1 burger. We've got, you know, barbecue, lots of different things that we do on the Hall of Dang. And then we have a lifestyle menu, which has burgers that are designed for people with certain, you know, dietary preferences, whether that's low carb, keto, low calorie, vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free. We have all sorts of options on that lifestyle menu.
I love that because I want them to give me their best burger. I don't want to have to put everything together. Like, let me just walk in and do it, order that one thing, and also making it easier for people with whatever dietary decisions they've made, making that easier, I think is great. Anything that can like remove a friction point is, I think, a really smart idea.
Yeah, definitely. I you know, I didn't ask him this, but I wonder if more people order the favorites or if they customize their own, because I would definitely, I always go for the favorites because I think if a chef is making a burger or curating the ingredients, it has to be better than what I put together. So.
Right. And like you and I know about food and flavors and right. stuff, but even so, I would much rather walk in the restaurant and let them do it.
Exactly. Well, you know, a lot of talk has been around LTOs as a platform for innovation. So I asked Doug a little bit about what they do when it comes to LTOs.
We've got something coming. It's not been announced yet. So maybe this is a breaking news situation, but we are going to be launching Loaded Fries here in about a month and a half. And that's taking our absolutely delicious queso blanco, drizzling it over the fries and adding jalapenos and adding bacon to give you something like a nacho version of fries. And you can also get that with our handmade chips. So we make chips fresh in the back of the house every single day. And I got to tell you, that's my personal favorite because you get the crunch with the queso. Mm. And then what I do is I also then add fresh avocado to that. So it really makes for an absolutely delicious snack.
Yeah, he talked about the fries. We got a little bit into the fries and shakes, but I was most interested in the burger, so we talked about that the most. But
yeah, they take their fries very seriously there too. They hand cut them and
right.
They have a very sort of dialed in process for their fries. I remember writing about that a few years ago. But the loaded fries actually were just launched. It's going to be in NRN's menu tracker. Well, that launched today, Friday, March 10th, and they have a banana cream pie shake that.
Right. Well, he said the end of May, so we were, you know, we're right on time here. This is middle of May, but I guess they rushed it a little bit.
And I'm sure it was developed over a long period of time.
Yeah.
He's the boss. It's hard to remember, exactly the date when the loaded fries are going to come out. Yeah, I wish there were one nearby because I could go for some.
I know. Doesn't sound good. I really want to try those. They're also doing sweet potato fries with, you guessed it, hot honey, because everyone's doing hot honey.
Everybody. Yeah, Cracker Barrel just added hot honey. They call it bee sting, which I kind of like. I think that's fun.
Yeah. No, I'm writing about that one in Taste Tracker this week. So, hot honey is definitely not going away. It continues. The New York Times did a story on it. I don't know if you saw that. But this week, the New York Times did a story on hot honey and how it's like, you know, I mean, they're a little behind us because we've been writing about it for a year or more.
Yeah. But
anyway, they've been, everyone's into hot honey these days.
They sure are. And sweet potato fries, which I am not into. Like, if I want fries, I want fries. I do not want, I like sweet potatoes, but they're not a French fry and they're not as good as fried potatoes for my circumstances. But I still remember years ago when Culver's came out with sweet potato fries, and it didn't occur to them, but it occurred to their customers. They ordered it with marshmallow fluff so that it was like a candy jam kind of situation. And Culver's idea was that this was going to be a healthier option, which sweet potato fries aren't necessarily. It kind of depends on the oil absorption and other things. But I really liked that the customers were like, clearly this needs marshmallows on.
Yeah. Well, I sometimes order sweet potato fries because I think they're healthier, but I know they're really not. But it makes me feel better. So.
Well, you know what, though? If you feel better, that's hugely important. Yeah. Like happiness and our own psychology, I think we neglect the fact that happiness is good for your health.
Definitely. Well, it was an interesting podcast, and I hope I get to try a Muya Burgers shakes and fries someday because it sounds like they have a great menu.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had one either, and I've always really liked the brand.
Mm-hmm.
The food sounds great.
So next week, we're all going to be at the restaurant show. We're looking forward to that, seeing what's new as far as food and drink goes. So we will report back on that, I guess, in a couple of weeks, maybe not next week, but the week after.
Soon. And we're also going to report on the Menu Master celebration, right?
Yes. Yes, definitely.
That'll be fun. Stay tuned for that. That's always a great party. And Pat, it's going to be your first time going.
I know. I'm excited.
My 20th some odd time going, but it's a big celebration.
No, it's supposed to be a great event, and I'm really looking forward to it and meeting some of the winners.
Yeah, it's a great networking event, and the food is good, and the drinks are free, and there's dancing. Good party.
Great. Well, I guess that's all for today, so we'll sign off now. But we will be broadcasting from the restaurant show about Menu Masters. So stay tuned for that.
Yes, please do. And thanks for tuning in today.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you, Pat.
From your fryer to the table, it's a quick trip for crispy fries. But how about a crosstown delivery? McCain SureCrisp fries are designed to go from fryer to container to carrier to passenger seat across town during rush hour down a shortcut that wasn't all that short to a doorstep before they hit the table. And that first bite, the crispiness speaks for itself. To the last bite, McCain SureCrisp fries go the distance. See how far our fries can take your business at surecrisp.com/delivery.